Funding for WPLN News comes from you, our listeners, and Bernstein Private Wealth, working with creators and innovators to invest with intention and build the legacy they want to leave behind. More at Bernstein.com.
I'm Khalil A. Colonna, and this is Nashville. Go to some college campuses, and you'll find groups of students wearing different styles of clothes with Greek letters prominently on the front. Who are they? Well, they're members of fraternities and sororities. Greek life in college is pretty fun. I myself pledged a fraternity. If a listener can guess, I'll take you out to lunch. Email us your suggestion at thisisnashville.org. But let's get back to the topic. See, fraternities and sororities offer places where people can connect and find camaraderie. But that fraternal experience is not solely for college students. Some people become members of Greek organizations after college, through graduate chapters. Others search for organizations like the Masons for connection and guidance. My next guests are here to talk with us about what Mason life is like. I have two members here from West Nashville, Phoenix, here to tell us more. I've got Warren Sturry and Ryan Turberville. Gentlemen, thanks so much for being with us. Welcome to This is Nashville.
Oh, thanks, yeah, man. Thanks for having us.
Awesome.
Super cool. Super cool.
Okay, so you both are in the Masons.
Yes.
All right, now, Warren, tell me, when did you join the Masons?
Yeah, I was 21 years old. I was living in Boone, North Carolina. I wanted to be a part of a fraternity. But Greek life wasn't really what I was going for. I wasn't really much of a partier. You know, I was more into reading, studying, things like this. And through looking into different groups that I could join, I found Freemasonry. I learned that it was this very, very ancient fraternity that essentially was a platform for personal development, a place where I could meet other like-minded men to study and, you know, learn philosophy and things like this. And it just seemed like it would make sense for what I was looking for in life. I joined and I haven't looked back since.
How long have you been in?
I've been in for 5 years.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Now, Ryan, what about you?
I joined about 15 years ago. Same time, 21 years old, I was out of college and had been in a Greek fraternity, Kappa Sigma. So I was already sold on the idea of fraternalism, but had always been a history buff, always been interested in the founding fathers, and you hear stories about Freemasons. So I had a casual acquaintance with the fraternity, but then I had met some Masons that I was working with and just started talking to them and really found out more about what it was, and found that my great-grandfather was a member. So after speaking with him, I was sold and joined and been active ever since.
Now, a lot of people have heard about the Freemasons, but they don't actually know what you all are and what you all do. There's some conspiracy theories out there, and I want to get to that a little bit later. But explain to me, what are the Masons and what do you all do?
Yeah, so Freemasonry, you know, Freemasonry is the world's oldest fraternity. Essentially, its history on paper goes back to the 16th century.
Yeah, there's even among Masons, we debate when our founding is.
Okay.
But it's at least 400 years old. Many Masons think it goes back way further than that. And the earliest documents we have point to the fraternity already existing. You know, they're alluding to an earlier time, but we don't have exact proof. So essentially, though, it's a system of self-improvement for men that's based on all of these ancient teachings and thought. It's not a religion, but it pulls from a lot of different religions, philosophy. And basically, it's a way of life, how to live, how to be a better man today. It doesn't really concern itself with salvation or the afterlife. Now, it does require a belief in God, but it doesn't. It's open to all religions, so it doesn't tell you what you have to believe. We don't go to lodge and worship. There's no, again, path to salvation. It's simply, here's how you should be a better man today, better father, better husband, better community member, and emphasizes that you should have a spiritual life. You should be concerned about your spirituality, but it doesn't necessarily tell you what path you have to take.
So it molds men into greater men to be of service to their communities, in essence.
Yeah, correct.
Yes.
Wow. Okay. So, you know, sometimes driving around, you see a Masonic lodge and you're like, wow, that looks, you know, spooky or very interesting. And it's obviously highly secretive. What goes down in the Masonic lodge?
Yeah. You know, our lodge is, you know, we do all sorts of different events. You know, some of those lodges look that way because maybe they're old and they haven't been worked on in a while, and maybe nobody's going to those. But, you know, a lodge will have stated meetings, business meetings. You know, we We have charity work, and we'll have a meeting once a month where we decide, you know, whether we'll donate money to this organization or that organization. We do degree work, which is essentially our initiation process, what a Greek life fraternity might call pledging. It's different in Freemasonry. It's a very different process, but we do have a series of degrees that we put on for people who are joining, and those are things that we do at the lodge.
Yeah, the degrees are they're theatrical. We call them ritual, but again, it's not ritual. Ritual kind of has that connotation that it's a religious thing, but it's a ceremony. It's a play, all designed to teach you certain moral principles, and they build upon each other. So our lodge meets once a week, every week, so four times a month. Some lodges only meet once a month, but typically, you know, we have that business meeting once a month, and then we're doing degree work or educational programming.
Now, talk to me about the degrees. There are 33 or 36 degrees. What's the highest level one can reach?
Yeah, so, you know, you have, you know, Freemasonry, Blue Lodge Freemasonry, which is what West Nashville Phoenix Lodge is. It's a Blue Lodge. There's 3 degrees. And then essentially you have other organizations within Freemasonry that offer more opportunities for education. And in the Scottish Rite, those would go up to 33.
Okay.
But at West Nashville Phoenix Lodge, you can come and you can get your 3 degrees, which are your Entered Apprentice degree, your Fellow Craft degree, and your Master Mason degree. And then once you become a Master Mason, you're a full-fledged member of West Nashville Phoenix Lodge. And at that point, then you can go and pursue education in those other organizations.
It
can be a little complicated, but the 3rd degree technically is the highest degree. Even though some of the others have higher numbers, that's not a rank. It's not a hierarchy.
Okay.
You know, a 14th degree can't tell a 7th degree what to do or anything like that.
Gotcha.
It just simply means you've voluntarily chosen to go through more of these degrees and learn more.
You know, as a person who's pledged a Greek fraternity, there's a lot of deference in there. Someone who's been in the organization a lot longer will tell a younger member kind of things to do. I'm interested in the pledging process. You know, so Warren, you said that, you know, once you become a Master Mason, you are therefore fully inducted into the order. How long does it take to become a master?
Yeah, so it just depends. You know, the process of joining a Masonic lodge, you know, one would show up to our lodge. Maybe they found our website or heard about an event we were doing. They'd come and they would introduce themselves, and we'd ask them to come spend some time with us for a few months, you know, eat dinner with us so we can kind of get to know who they are and get to know their interests. And that period of time kind of varies. Maybe they know some people at the lodge already, and we feel comfortable letting them petition sooner than somebody who we may not be familiar with. But once they put a petition in, that petition will essentially, it's an application. It'll sit for 30 days. And then after that 30 days, we'll vote on whether we would like this person to become a member of our lodge. It has to be a unanimous vote.
Mm.
So everybody in the lodge must feel comfortable with this man joining the organization. And then if that vote is affirmative, we schedule his Entered Apprentice degree, which is, again, a ceremony that we put on to teach this man a certain series of philosophical, moral, and spiritual lessons. Once he goes through his Entered Apprentice degree, there's a period of study where he must memorize and recite credibly the information that he learned in that degree.
Mm.
And once he's able to memorize and proficiently recite that information, he's allowed to get his Fellow Craft degree. There's also a 28-day window that has to take place between those.
Okay.
But oftentimes, it's a little bit longer than that. And he gets his Fellow Craft degree, and that has a whole other series of lessons that we teach that man.
And they have to recite those back.
And then he recites those back, and then he goes and he gets his Master's degree, and there's a whole other series of lessons. And then after he goes through all that, he's a Master Mason.
So theoretically, 3 months could be the quickest, because there has to be a 28-day.
Yep.
That very rarely happens. It's usually more of a 6 to 12 month process.
Yeah, so it sounds like there's a lot to learn, but in essence, it you make sure that people are actually dedicated to being a fully fledged member.
You can't just put in a petition and then become a member. You really have to work for it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And none of it's written down. The memorization, you have to meet with someone who knows this lecture and sit and go back and forth. We call it mouth to ear to learn this. So there's a time commitment by the member or the candidate and the member to try to not only teach them these lectures, but in that process, you're also getting some mentorship and building a friendship, usually with the guy who's teaching you those lectures.
That's pretty cool that nothing is written down, but it also leads to the conspiracy theory of, hey, it's kind of spooky, but I really... appreciate that. So these lessons have been passed down for 400 years from member to initiate, essentially, mm-hmm. and then to be turned around. You know, I'm interested, Ryan, you were at Kappa Sigma. What is the main difference between the fraternity life, Greek life, and Masonic life?
I think they're founded on similar things, and specifically the Kappa Sigma, it was actually most of the early founders were Masons. The guy who wrote the Kappa Sigma ritual was a Mason, so okay. Lots of similarities there, and I've been told other fraternities the same. But, you know, we don't have a fraternity house and parties, and, you know, Greek-like obviously focuses a little bit more on the social aspects of things. But the core values are still there: brotherhood, fraternity, charity, improvement, the network that you're gaining by joining. So I would say at their core, they're the same. It's just once you join something such as Freemasonry, you're out in the real world. You've got men from all different backgrounds, different ages. You know, just the intergenerational camaraderie there, I don't think you can get anywhere else. You know, Greek fraternity, it's just 18 to 21 year olds roughly.
Yeah.
We've got guys in our lodge that are 18 and guys that are 85.
Yeah.
So just a vast diversity of knowledge and experience there.
That's pretty interesting. We have to take a short break.
I've been enjoying this service for a freaking decade, and it's time to give back. So if you're like me and you're a longtime listener and you haven't donated yet, I really suggest just go on the website. It's so easy. I was kind of surprised at how easy it was and kind of a little mad at myself that I hadn't done it sooner. You just go on there, you click the button, and it's over in a minute. And then, you know, you get to be a part of it. I'm Rachel from Nashville, and I support WPLN.
Well, my message to Rachel is that there is no need to be mad at yourself. It is never too late to give. That's why Tony Gonzalez and I, Cynthia Abrams, are here listening with you to This Is Nashville during our spring fun drive. We're asking you, any of our This Is Nashville listeners, to be like Rachel and support WPLN and programs like This Is Nashville or our new Nash Villager podcast by heading to WPLN.org, hitting Give Now, and giving whatever you can today, whatever is feasible for you. We are asking that you contribute.
Yeah, and it only takes 2 minutes. You know, Rachel mentioned how easy it is to give. We've timed it. It takes less than 2 minutes to give at WPLN.org. While you're there, you could also check out the episode archive for This Is Nashville. I'm just going to mention a few. Hopefully, you heard the deep dive into the Cowboy Carter album from Beyonce that aired last week. We've had an episode recently about dealing with and recovering from traumatic incidents. We've had a profile on Tyler Merritt, the author, actor, and comedian who's based here in Nashville. We've also had our Ask the Mayor recurring segment. This is really high-quality programming, great conversations, meaningful connections among and between neighbors. This is the kind of programming and journalism that you have come to expect from Nashville Public, kind of to demand, really. And one way to make that demand go even further is to make a contribution and to show your support for what we're doing here at WPLN. You can give at WPLN.org or by calling 615-760-2010. I would recommend the online giving. When you go to WPLN.org, you click the Give Now button, you make that contribution. You can also leave us a comment. Let us know which episode of This Is Nashville you really liked.
Yeah. And, you know, we also want to say thank you to you because we so appreciate your support of WPLN. So if you head to WPLN.org and give $25 a month, the way we will be saying thank you is through a This Is Nashville Superfan Lunch. You know, we're listening to the dulcet tones of Khalil Ekolona's voice this hour. And if you're someone who listens to him every day for a full hour, he can start to feel like a bit of a celebrity. I don't know. He's one of my coworkers, and I still feel like that sometimes when I see him at the station. So if you set up that $25 per month donation, what we have is a special lunch where you get to watch a live production and broadcast of a This Is Nashville episode, and then have lunch with Khalil. Ask him your questions during a special Q&A session. Take home your lunch in a little This Is Nashville lunchbox. They are very cute, yes. I can attest. And yeah, that is just one way we want to say thank you to you for supporting us.
You know, so Cindy mentions $25 a month for the special super fan This Is Nashville lunch. How about this? Go to $35 per month. You can get that super fan lunch and also get the This Is Nashville tote bag. This is one of our kind of newer thank you gifts. It says, be good to each other, the phrase that you hear at the end of every episode. So consider that giving amount. If you really are a super fan, you would get the lunch and the tote bag together. Of course, you can choose your giving amount, and you can choose whatever thank you gift you like the most by going to WPLN.org. Clicking the give button, we've got kind of like little pictures there of all of the different thank you gifts, the different giving levels, and really it just takes 2 minutes to enter the information there, and then you've made a difference for this is Nashville and for everything that we do at Nashville Public Radio. So take action now. Go to WPLN.org and click the give now button.
Yeah, so any of those sustaining memberships, again, like Tony said, you know, we've got a tote for $10 a month. We've got the super fan lunch for $25 a month. You can also make a one-time donation if that is what is feasible for you right now. Whatever it is, we just are so grateful to you for supporting us and supporting this kind of dedicated and relentless journalism that we seek to provide here at WPLN.org. So head to WPLN.org, hit that give now, and let us know what it is that you appreciate about us. I'm loving reading these comments from our supporters right now who say they like to listen to NPR while driving. You know, we hope to provide some driving entertainment.
Yeah, I also want to say thanks to Daniela in Nashville, Sandra in Nolensville, and Michael in Nashville. We so appreciate your support. Join them at WPLN.org.
I'm Khalil Ekolona, and this is Nashville. We're talking about pledging, about organizations, fraternities, and sororities. These are the organizations that people join in college or after in life for connection and camaraderie. Now, you may have heard of the Masonic Temple. It's a group, a private group that people can join. I have two members here from West Nashville, Phoenix, here to tell us more. I've got Warren Sturry and Ryan Turberville. What was your initiation process like?
I went through pretty fast. I was I was about to graduate from college, so I'd found out about it my senior year during the summer, went back to school, and I had to actually drive down and learn my lectures and drive back. Luckily, I'm from Nashville, so it wasn't as big a deal. I'd come home anyways, but for me, at least, the memory work came kind of easy. Doesn't happen with everybody, but I was able to move along pretty fast.
What was the most challenging part?
Going back to just the idea that it's old and these rituals are old, the language is old. Mm-hmm. So it's English, but they use words and terms that may not mean the same thing today, and just the style of speaking is different. So in that memorization, the first one you learn is usually the hardest, but then your brain kind of resets, reprograms to that line of thinking in that language, and it becomes easier. So
okay. Ryan, now you joined when you were 21, you said. Warren, you said you joined when you were 21. What was the process like for you? You were at college.
Yeah.
Greek life wasn't for you. You were already ready to do something more serious, get involved with a much more serious group. What was that process like?
Yeah, it was great. I mean, you know, Masons are just extremely hospitable people. So, you know, I just showed up to the lodge. I didn't know anybody. I had really no idea what to expect other than what I had read online. And I knocked on the door, it opened up, and there's a group of gentlemen in there. I went inside, had a wonderful conversation, and just started asking questions, and just asked questions, and decided it was for me. It was a similar process. You know, I at that time, I didn't have much trouble going through the degrees. You know, getting the old English down is tricky when you first have to do it. It's just a weird way of speaking with the lecture, but once I got it down, it was really fun. You know, one of the things that is unique about Freemasonry is, you know, in the modern world, we don't use our memory as much as the generations before us. You know, my grandfather had his whole phone book memorized. You know, if he needed to call somebody, he just had the phone number in his head.
Mm-hmm.
And we just have so many things that take that load off of our brains. So when I really got into Freemasonry and really actually started to work this memory muscle in my brain, I started to just memorize everything better. Like my brain got stronger through that process. So joining the Masonic Lodge was an exceptionally wonderful experience for me.
Is there anything that you all can recite for us now? I don't want you to break any codes.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. You know, there's some things that are written down. But I would imagine that it would probably be more meaningful if somebody was interested in Freemasonry to come to a lodge and hear it there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can touch on just, there's this perception that we're a secret society. I don't think that's true. We don't hide our membership. We don't hide our buildings. We have websites. You know, there's nothing. So the only places where Masonry is really secretive are in countries where it's banned, and you know, communist countries, certain parts of the Islamic world where you have like dictatorships, or pretty much anywhere where there's kind of a tyrannical government, Masons are forced to be more secretive and go into hiding. Hitler banned Freemasonry, Mao banned Freemasonry, Stalin banned Freemasonry, you know. So, but in the Western world and South America and many places, Masons are very open about who they are and where they are and what we do. There's just certain parts of it that you could call secret. I think a better word is private.
Yeah.
It's a private membership only club,
yeah.
You know, and it's not that secret implies that there's something nefarious or something being hidden, whereas I think it's just privileged information,
yeah.
You know, and if you were to, you wouldn't join a country club where they let non-members golf for free.
Yeah.
Right. So, There has to be some sort of benefit to membership, and a huge reason for that secrecy is really to just ensure trust between the members themselves. So if we're trying to build brotherhood, my ability to keep a secret, not just the secrets of the fraternity, but also this, you know, Warren's secrets, he can confide in me and know that I'm not going to go run my mouth to everybody.
So the lodge is a place where you can go and have that actual fraternity, brotherhood, in essence, in sort of kind of agape type of love relationship with each other. I'm sure it's got to be incredibly beneficial. You mentioned that you have members as young as 18 and as old as 80. That's got to be the perfect place to get advice. If you're a father, if you're going to get married, if you're going to take this promotion or move, almost any question you have about life and a decision you have to make, you can get answered at the lodge, huh?
Yeah, we talk about that sometimes. I've got like 200 grandpas in Nashville.
Yeah.
You know, it's extraordinary. So yeah, you know, Freemasonry transcends the boundaries of age and brings together men of all these ages. And it really is one of the only places that I know of that consistently brings together men of such a wide age range into one place to talk about these ideas.
Which is another reason for this private atmosphere is if our goal is self-improvement, you know, you want to have a space that men can come together and feel comfortable and be vulnerable. And, you know, men in general, I feel like we're less prone to talk about things. You know, we like to hold stuff in and be tough, be manly, you know, and certainly nothing wrong with that in certain instances, but having a place where you can go put your guard down and know that the guys are all there for your benefit is extremely rare in society.
It's something else important. You know, Ryan's talking about the group being private. There's another misconception, which is that it's an invite-only organization. People think that you have to be invited to become a Freemason. It's actually the opposite. We don't solicit membership. If somebody wants to become a Freemason, they need to find a Freemason. They need to ask to join. Freemasonry, every Mason seeked membership for himself. It was something that stirred up in his heart, and then he went and found it.
Mm-hmm.
I went and knocked on the door of the lodge in Boone. You know, Ryan went and seeked that lodge on his own volition. So, you know, we have this privacy, but it's nothing that is closed off to people. If a man is interested in becoming a Freemason and it's something that is in his heart and he believes that it's something that would be good for him. Freemasonry is there for any man who would like to join who meets the qualifications.
How did your family and friends react when you told them you were joining the Masons?
Yeah, I mean, you know, overall positive reaction, you know. And obviously, you know, if you get too deep into the weeds on YouTube, you can find some pretty weird things.
Yes.
You know, I mean, I love the conspiracy theories. I think they're hilarious. Some of them are pretty weird. overall positive reaction, man. You know, I don't have any Masons in my family. You know, Ryan has a family lineage with Freemasonry. So, you know, part of me wishes that maybe I did have some relatives who are Masons, because it's quite an extraordinary bond that I see when there are, you know, a grandfather is a Mason and then his grandson joins. Like, that's a pretty unique experience. But yeah, I mean, nothing but love for my family and friends.
What's the weirdest conspiracy you've heard?
Oh man, I mean, what? There's just so many of them.
Yeah.
Some of them are just so. What are some of the good ones?
Yeah, I mean, the common one that I think we hear all the time is that we worship Satan or Lucifer, and that happens at the higher levels. And when Warren and I say no, that's ridiculous, then they say, oh, well, you're just not high enough. That's the
comment.
You just don't know yet, you know. And it's like, once you get certain, you know, Freemasonry is good at the bottom, but then you get to this certain level and it all turns real bad real quick.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that ridiculous. You know, I've been around for, like I said, 15 years. I've served. I've been the master of the lodge. I serve on all these committees and the Grand Lodge level. I'm around the leadership intimately, and the 33rd degrees, that's what where you know a lot of people think that the secrets really hold. Like, I know these guys, I have dinner with them all the time. Like, there's no way that these men that I know, that I have known for decade, are secretly just into all this other stuff.
And
it goes against every principle that you're taught within the fraternity, so it's really antithetical to who we are. And those are the most common ones. Craziest ones, I mean, man, we have people email us with just all sorts of stuff. Some lady wanted us to interpret her dreams because she knew that's what the Freemasons do.
Okay.
Right? We're dream interpreters.
Yeah. Just, wow. we just get blamed for everything, man. Anything that's wrong in the world is Freemason's fault.
Okay.
You know, traffic, Freemason. Yeah.
Okay. That's something. You know, Ryan, what was it like when you told your family and friends that you were joining?
Overall, very positive. I have one side of my family that had some religious objections, again, I think that comes from misconceptions or just outright lies. They're not liars. They heard lies, right? And then once we talked through it, they're fine, especially once they knew that my great-grandfather was, because he was a Church of Christ song leader till the day he died, basically. You know, it's like as hardcore conservative Christian as you could get, he was a member. And they're like, all right, well, if he was in it, then it can't be all bad.
It's okay for you. Okay, yeah. So you have different ages, you have different types of men in there, you've got different spiritual and religious beliefs. What about politics? Are politics left out of the door when you step into the lodge?
Correct.
Yep, for sure. Well, the two things we cannot discuss in lodge is religion and politics.
Mm-hmm.
So you have men of all different persuasions, let's say.
Yeah.
You know, I would say the only thing that Masonry would teach again, and it's not explicit, but it is if you just look into our morals and our values. I don't think we would allow people of the extremes of any kind.
Mm-hmm.
So you can be a Republican and be a Mason. You can be a Democrat and be a Mason. But I don't think you can be a fascist and be a Mason. Mm-hmm. I don't think you can be a communist and be a Mason. You know, there's at the extreme ends of the political spectrum, these ideologies that don't mesh with ideologies of Masonry.
We have to take a short break.
can support This Is Nashville by making a contribution now at WPLN.org. There's a Give Now button there on our homepage. You can also check out all of the archival episodes of This Is Nashville when you're there. This is Tony Gonzalez. I'm here with Cindy Abrams. We are raising money during our spring fund drive. It's just 5 days on the calendar to raise money to support all that Nashville Public Radio does, including programming like This Is Nashville. You know, when you listen to a show like This Is Nashville, you're hearing your neighbors, you're hearing local experts, you're hearing people maybe you've never encountered in your day-to-day life, your neighbors and those folks who really make up the fabric of Middle Tennessee. It helps you to learn and be connected to this community and to feel like you belong here in Middle Tennessee. I love learning from This Is Nashville, exploring the topics that they explore and just, you know, kind of going on a trip into communities and cultures here in our community. You can support that type of conversation, that sort of thoughtfulness and programming by making a contribution at WPLN.org.
You know, WPLN is such a helpful resource for newcomers and longtime residents alike to just be and feel like a part of this community. I know when I moved here, it was probably the most helpful tool that let me feel like this. And we seek to make our listeners feel more aware of what's happening here and in their community. It's a way to understand and learn about what's happening, you know, beyond your circle. And ultimately, it's a way to kind of get invested in your neighbors and your elected officials and understand how those actions and those communities are impacting your life. So continue to support this community that is WPLN and hit Give Now at WPLN.org or give us a call, 615-760-2010.
You know, for many years, we had listeners asking us for a show like This Is Nashville. Ultimately, it took a little bit of time and it definitely took some dollars, some contributions to launch a program like This Is Nashville. One way to really spark an endeavor, something as ambitious as a daily program like This Is Nashville, is to give at the Producers Circle. This is $100 a month or more. That level of giving is substantial when we're thinking about new initiatives at Nashville Public Radio. Here's the other thing. Right now, we have a Producers Circle match available. So this would take that substantial contribution and double it. That's thanks to existing members of the Producers Circle who are encouraging more of you to join at that giving level. You can choose any giving amount by going to WPLN.org, clicking the Give Now button, and taking, you know, just about 2 minutes to fill out the form and choose your giving amount. You can do that again, WPLN.org.
We have a little bit of a different goal this fund drive. It's not a dollar amount goal. It's a person goal. We are trying to get 1,000 people to give during these 5 days. You know, I'm really excited about this goal because that's 1,000 people we get to hear from. Because when you make a donation, you can leave us a comment or a note sharing, you know, what it is you appreciate about WPLN or what you want more reporting of, what's impacted your life. It's engaging. We are reading those. We are taking those into account. So go ahead and head to WPLN.org, become a part of those 1,000 people and tell us what it is you appreciate, you want to see change at WPLN.
Yeah, that's right. And if you give at $25 a month, you'll be able to get our This Is Nashville Super Fan Lunch. Limited offer. You get to view a broadcast live and then catch lunch and a Q&A with the team. So $25 a month. Choose that for the This Is Nashville Super Fan Lunch.
I'm Khalil Ekolona, and this is Nashville. Fraternities and sororities are commonplace on many college campuses. Greek organizations provide camaraderie, connection, and a chance to party. But the opportunity to be a part of a group exists after college as well. My next guests are here to talk with us about what Mason life is like. Gentlemen, thanks so much for being with us. Warren Sturry and Ryan Turberville. You know, you're out here. You're finding brotherhood and camaraderie with men where religion and politics are not the issue. But as you both know, you go outside into the world, you're at a bar, perhaps you're at a party, you're at work. Some people carry their religion and their politics on their sleeve. It is a big part of folks' identities, right?
Mm-hmm.
But here you are understanding human beings outside of those parameters and that framework.
How does the experience of being in the lodge sans politics and religion, how does that help you when you're just kind of out here living your life in the world with everyone else?
Yeah, well, Freemasonry teaches, you know, one of the first lessons that you learn is, you know, emotional self-regulation, the power of personal reflection, you know, understanding your own feelings and understanding how to keep those feelings within due bounds. Stay level-headed, you know, one could say. So I think that that's very important. You know, when you go out, the world's so polarized now. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody has a reason to dislike everybody else. And being able to go into those conversations with people of different beliefs with that level-headedness, that curiosity, that desire to learn something, because we can learn something from everybody. I think that that would be one of the biggest things that I've learned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's, while we don't talk politics or religion in lodge, inevitably you're around somebody for a long time, you know, those topics will come up. Yeah. So I have brothers who we vehemently disagree when it comes to certain things on politics, but it never gets in the way of our friendship and brotherhood. So mm-hmm. that's a cool thing that in opposition to what you're saying is when you lead with that, you know, when you go out to the bar and you meet somebody and it's just this divisive, you know, argument, you don't have the chance to really get to know who they are. Yeah. You're judging them by that identity.
Yeah.
And it's allowed me, some of my best friends that I met through Masonry are possibly men that I wouldn't have been friends with if it had started out differently. You know, mm-hmm. if those conversations had started out more mm-hmm. Some sort of disagreement or opposition.
Yeah. Are you both working out on the other side of mentorship now? Are you bringing in and mentoring younger members or newer members, I should say?
We both hold positions of leadership in the lodge. So, you know, Ryan's the secretary of the lodge this year. I'm the master of the lodge. So essentially it's my year as the, I get president of the fraternity, one could say, for the year, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, we both came in and we both had our mentors who raised us up, and now we have the opportunity to help mentor others, which is unique, you know, at our age to be able to mentor young men in this craft. So yeah, I mean, it's we got a lot of people joining, so we have a lot of people who need to learn their lecture. Like Ryan said, it's always a great opportunity when you teach somebody their lecture. You get to really develop a unique relationship with this person because you're working on helping them memorize this very meaningful information. And oftentimes, you know, when you ask a Mason, you know, some of the most important moments in his life, it's his Masonic degrees. It's usually when his kids were born, when he got married, and his Masonic degrees.
Mm-hmm.
So you really get to know somebody on a really deep level and develop really unique relationships. It's a long answer, but the short answer is absolutely. Yeah, we've had the opportunity to do that.
My producer really wants to know, is there anything anyone can do to get kicked out?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We, we're going with our just moral standards.
Mm-hmm.
Conduct is, if you commit a felony, it's just automatic.
You're automatically
just
gone.
Yeah. Other than that,
domestic crimes are a big no-no. Mm-hmm.
Masonic offenses, as we call them. And, we actually have trials. It's a process. You know, if someone does something, you bring them up on charges, and then there's a trial, and he's allowed to defend himself. And there's it's a process. But yeah, people get suspended or kicked out. I won't say regularly, but I mean it certainly happens. Yeah.
We're human beings. Yeah. Things come up.
Yeah.
People get into actions. You know, Warren, what are your duties as master of the lodge?
Yeah. I mean, you know, essentially, I mean, there's a lot going on at the lodge. We got something going on every single week. So, you know, I see my duties as in this position is to really help, because we have a whole officer line. There's seven officers in the lodge. And then every single year, another man has the opportunity to join that line. And generally, those people progress through that line chronologically, start in the beginning as the junior steward, and then you'll end as the master of the lodge.
Mm-hmm.
And each of those roles gives you the opportunity to learn something new about yourself, about the lodge, but also just about responsibility. So as you go through this officer's line, your responsibilities increase. You have more that's trusted to you to be responsible for. And then ultimately, when you are in a position where you're the master of the lodge, you know, you now, as I see it, are responsible for helping every one of those officers and every member of that lodge fulfill their responsibilities and become the best versions of themselves that's possible.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's the logistics side of things and the business side of things. We have our business meetings where we vote on allocating funds and all that. And, you know, that's a part of it. There's the business responsibilities, but really the master of the lodge is essentially the person who should be helping the officers who are working with him learn how to do their job, learn how to handle that responsibility, learn how to communicate with the members. And through that process, when they eventually become the master of the lodge, to be an exceptionally different man than they were when they entered.
Mm-hmm. Now, it's a male-only organization. Is there a female counterpart?
In some parts of the world. So one thing about Masonry is it's very decentralized. So there's a Grand Lodge of Tennessee, and that is a wholly independent group. There's a Grand Lodge of Georgia, Grand Lodge of England, Grand Lodge of France, and there is no Grand Lodge of America. There is no Grand Lodge of the world. So we're one fraternity in a lot of ways, but the power structure is very decentralized. So in some parts of the world, there is female Freemasonry, but that's not recognized by our Grand Lodge. So like I couldn't go to their lodge and they couldn't come to mine. So it does exist, but it's rare. In Tennessee and most of the Western world, there's an organization called the Eastern Star that women can join. That's kind of an offshoot organization, mm-hmm. but it's not the same as Freemasonry, just a pendant body.
So. Do you all have events where families are invited?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah cool. I think, Masonry teaches that family comes first. Family and your, well, God, family and your occupation come before the fraternity.
Okay.
So ultimately, we want families around. We want men to be good fathers. So we try to plan. And we have public events as well where just non-Masons, non-family members can attend. But
you're the West Nashville Phoenix. Where'd the name come from?
We've merged over the years, so we've been around since 1847.
Wow.
Originally, three lodges in that time period merged, and they called themselves Phoenix Lodge, a new lodge rising out of the ashes of three older lodges.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 2016... Phoenix Lodge merged with West Nashville Lodge and became West Nashville Phoenix.
Okay. So, well, how many members do you have right now, currently?
250-ish.
250. Do you know the numbers nationwide, globally?
I don't know those.
3 million globally.
Wow.
30,000 in the state of Tennessee.
Wow. 3 million across the world. So would you be welcomed? Say you were in Italy, you know, someone called and did a video about the Da Vinci Code and conspiracy theories, and you're like, I'm going to go out there to disprove it. Would you be welcome to the Italian Masonic Lodge?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's best to, like, maybe not just show up if you can plan ahead and stuff, because there is a process to prove that you actually are a Mason and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, once you have that, once they know you're legit and we know they're legit sort of thing, you can go anywhere in the world.
It's pretty extraordinary. You know, anytime I'm traveling, one of the first things I do, if I know I'm going to a city, I'll get on Google and I'll look up the lodges and I'll see if one's meeting any of the nights that I'm in town.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know that I can show up and I can immediately have a group of brothers that I can fellowship with, people that I can trust, people that I can talk with, and I can just have an immediate connection with that city.
Where's your favorite spot that you've gone to and had that experience?
Mm. You know, our lodge is great, but another great lodge is Austin Lodge 12.
Austin, Texas.
Yeah, Austin, Texas. Okay. Yeah, that's an exceptional lodge.
All right. Mm-hmm. Last question for you both. Ryan, you first. What would you say to someone who's considering joining?
I'd say just come experience it. You know, you can read online, and there's certainly some helpful resources out there, but there's a lot of garbage as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the best way to learn if it's for you is just to come experience it. So most lodges, again, it differs throughout the country and the world, but most lodges meet pretty regularly. They almost always have a meal. They almost always have dinner that you could come to. And that's the best way to get your questions answered. And then also just meet the men involved and make sure it's going to be a fit. Because while Masonry is the same throughout the world, each lodge has its own culture. You know, we're all just humans. So There may be a lodge over here that you fit in better than a lodge over here. It doesn't mean one's better or worse. It's just what works for you. So the only other advice I'd give beyond the culture of the lodge is the logistics, making sure that it's something that can easily fit in with your life. So what part of town it's in, what night of the week they meet, all those type of things that you might not think are important, but they are. If you're going to get the most out of Masoner, you need to be able to put the time into it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're fighting traffic an hour and a half to get to lodge every week, eventually, you know, you just might not come as much.
I
would say find one that has a culture that fits for you and then one that also fits in with your daily life easily.
Awesome. Warren?
Yeah, all that stuff, just, you know, find a lodge, ask questions. If you know somebody, if you have a friend who's a Mason, ask them questions. Masons love when somebody who's not a Mason starts asking questions about Freemasonry.
Okay.
So if you got a relative, just start asking them questions. Find a lodge near you. Give them a call or send them an email. They might even have their dinner posted on their website. Just show up and have a good time.
You know, I want to thank you both here. Oh, I'm sorry, I know I said the last question, but here's something that's come to mind. You know, you were both talking about the camaraderie and the brotherhood and that you can talk about anything there. Given, you know, for the past, I'd say past 7 years, maybe the past decade, there's been a lot of talk about mental health, men's resources. You know, we here at This Is Nashville have done groups about support groups for men. Do you feel like your experience at the Masonic Lodge is a place where you could kind of let everything go, let the pressures of being a man in modern American society go, and to sit there with other men and kind of work through the problems and open up?
1,000%. Yeah, there's nothing like your lodge. If you have a problem or you need advice, you have so many people you can go to and you all have such a deep connection. I haven't found anything like it.
Awesome.
Yeah, and I think that sometimes we're criticized for being male only. That's not because we're anti-women. It's literally just the fact that in a male only space, men act differently. They are more vulnerable. You put us in the presence of females, we act differently.
That's true.
You know, and I think male-only spaces are important for society. I think female-only spaces are important. And I think co-ed spaces where, you know, places we all come together. All of these are important. But it just seems to be more rare today to have a male-only space. I don't really know of anything else like it in society. So
I want to thank both of you for coming on and speaking with us. This was really cool. I learned a lot. My guests were Warren Sturry and Ryan Turberville from West Nashville Phoenix Masonic Lodge. Gentlemen, again, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thanks for tuning in this hour. This Is Nashville is a production of Nashville Public Radio. Today's episode was produced and directed by Elizabeth Burton. Our board operator is Liv Lombardi. The masterminds behind our theme music are LaRange and Namir Blade. You can listen back at thisisnashville.org or wherever you get good podcasts. And the conversation doesn't end here. Tweet us at This Is Nashville. Find us on Instagram and tell us what you want from our show by filling out our Quick Serve Nashville. This is Nashville. I'm Khalil Lekaluna. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody. And be good to each other.
Make this your day to support WPLN and the vital service it provides. What is that service? Deep reporting on local issues, personal perspectives, trusted information that can make a difference in your life. I'm Tony Gonzalez, in with Cindy Abrams. We are raising money for Nashville Public Radio during our spring fund drive. It's just 5 days to support everything that happens here at Nashville Public Radio. You know that WPLN is always here for you, bringing you the news, the timely news, but also these deep conversations like you hear on This Is Nashville. Your contributions support all of that, as well as the national programming that we bring to you here in Middle Tennessee. Make your contribution at WPLN.org.
That contribution shows us that you believe in the mission of WPLN News. That mission? To serve our community with dynamic and informative radio. We know you care about the personal stories of Tennesseans. That's probably why you're listening to This Is Nashville right now, or just were, to learn about the varied people that make up your community, our community. We want to keep telling these stories, and we do rely on you to do that. Help fund the next story by visiting WPLN.org today. Hit the Give Now button or give us a call, 615-760-2010.
You know, in just the past few days, I can see that 269 listeners have made a contribution of one size, one form or another to Nashville Public Radio. I mention that number because we are counting toward 1,000 listeners who have given in any way during this drive. So when I say any way, I mean existing members. You could send in an additional gift. Sustaining members, you could increase your monthly giving amount by a couple of dollars. And hey, you longtime listeners who have not given a first-time contribution, of course, that also would count. The beauty of all of this is that we are stronger together. That's why this 1,000 listeners who become contributors is so important to us. That will show the strength of the relationship between WPLN and you, our listeners. Make that gift at WPLN.org.
We want to see you be a part of that 1,000, that group of 1,000 people who support and believe in the mission of WPLN News. Head to WPLN.org and show us that you are a part of that 1,000. It doesn't matter how you give. It can be a sustaining membership. It could be a one-time gift. No matter what it is, you are showing us that you support WPLN and what we do here, and that you want it to keep going, and that you want to keep listening to these voices of your fellow Tennesseans. So
I've got another way that you can give.
Please.
Here's another one. How about joining the Producers Circle, which I guess I'm interjecting to mention the Producers Circle because I remembered we have matching money available. The Producers Circle is a gift of $100 a month or more. And right now, this is pretty special. We have matching money that would double that substantial contribution. You can choose that giving amount or any giving amount that fits for you at WPLN.org. You can click the Give Now button. You can also give us a call, 615-760-2010. It takes just 2 minutes and you can push us toward this goal of 1,000 listener members supporting Nashville Public Radio.